Here, and we pray that you've had a great day in the Lord, opportunity to reflect on the Lord's goodness to you and to anticipate the gathering together tonight to bring honor and glory to his name and to receive from him the wonderful words of life. And that's why we're here. It's all about him. We get blessed, but he's to get the glory. And we have an opportunity to do that when we assemble together and to worship him, and so we hope that that's what we've come for. We invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. This morning we talked about how to have a life that counts for God. We live a life, and much of the life that we live accounts for us. We accomplish things that we have a desire to do, and we have a list, whether it's a formal list or just a list that's in our mind of things that we want to do, places we want to go. I'm sure that if I were to ask you, you would probably have somewhere that you would like to visit, somewhere you've never been before, something you'd like to do that you've never done before. And we all have that. There's nothing unusual about that, nothing wrong with that. But we ought to have a greater desire to live a life that counts for Christ. What do we want to do for him? What do we want to accomplish for him in this life while we have the time to do it? When we don't know how much that time is. We've been given a bank account of time. We burn seconds all the time. We don't know when we're going to run out. One of these days, we'll go to make a withdrawal, and it's not going to be there. And so we're not going to overdraft on that. We're just going to go on to glory. So we have to take advantage of the time that we have now to make that life count. Well, tonight I want to talk about making that life count will lead you to have an abundant life. Sometimes people think when they're living for Jesus, they have to sacrifice everything. Have you ever thought that? Have you ever had that, maybe that nagging feeling that, well, if I become a good Christian or if I become faithful to God, if I start going to church all the time, it's going to cost me. And I'm going to have to sacrifice the things that I really want. And the problem is, the things that we want, we settle for that are far less than the things that God has planned for us. He plans for us an abundant life, a life full of joy, abundant joy and peace, but abundant peace. Not just peace in lack of conflict, but peace in spite of conflict. We can still be at peace. We're going through this COVID. It's a challenge, and we haven't always been at peace with it because we're worried, we're of the uncertainty. But God can give us a peace that passes all understanding, and we can have an abundant peace even in this epidemic that we have that we're dealing with. The elections and the looking of a new president for our country, it's been confusing and upsetting and all kinds of emotions going through. But we can still be at peace because we know the God that holds tomorrow. We know that he's already got a plan, and it's going to be a good plan, a perfect plan that he has for us. And we just need to trust that, and then we can have an abundance. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18, Paul writes here, he says, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor, a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." Well-pleasing is what our desire ought to be. We ought to be well-pleasing to God. But you notice here he says, "I am full and abound. I abound and am full." And we can have that kind of life. And I want us to think about that. In this world, we get caught up in wanting to have a full life. We want to have a good job, don't we? We want to have maybe get married, have a husband, a wife, maybe, you know, three children, two cars, maybe a cabin up north, and whatever we think would complete that full life that we have visioned for us. But that full life is a very temporal thing at best, and maybe more short-lived than we realize. Anything that we can gain in this earth, we can lose in this earth. But the things that God has for us, it gives us a fullness, a feeling of fullness, is things that are everlasting and those things that accomplish that joy and that happiness. And we ought to be happy. If you're here tonight and you're saved, you ought to be happy. Amen. If you have Christ and have nothing else, you have everything. Amen. If you don't have Christ and have everything, you have nothing. And we need to come to understand that. We are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. All that Christ owns, which is all of the vastness of the universe, we're joint heirs with him. Amen. We're full. We have an abundance in our life. And we live like we're paupers in Christ. When we should be demonstrating to people that see us how happy we are, how confident we are. There should be a smile on our face. There should be a spring in our walk. And people, how can you be so joyful going through the things that we're going through? And then it gives you an opportunity to share Christ with them and witness and say, well, I know who holds tomorrow. I know Christ is in charge. I know he has a plan. He has a purpose. And therefore, we can be at peace with God and have the peace of God, which is very important for us. John chapter 15 and verse 11, Jesus says, these things I've spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Oh, we ought to be full of joy. John writes in 1 John 1:4, and these things write we unto you that your joy might be full. We ought not just to have joy, our joy ought to be full. We ought to be overflowing with joy. Our cup should be running over. And we let the devil rob us of that joy that we have in Christ Jesus. So I want to talk to you about a few things you can do tonight to have an abundant life. We all want that. We want not only abundant life in eternity, but we want an abundant life here. And I think Jesus came not only to give us life, but to give us an abundant life, a life that is full of joy. Don't we seek after things to be happy? We don't just buy a new car just to buy a new car. We don't just buy a new computer to get a new computer. We don't just get a new phone to get a new phone. Those things make us happy. We feel good when we treat ourselves to things that are special. When we go shopping and we buy things. We buy things because we want to be happy. They make us happy. But the problem is they only make us happy for a short time. And then we want more. We want better. We want newer. But the thing that God gives us, gives us an abundant joy that's beyond our greatest imagination. And so let's think about that. Full means to be containing as much as possible. Above normal. Filled to satisfaction. How long has it been since you've been satisfied? I mean, work, play, things. You get something new. How long do you stay satisfied with that? How long do you have that before you become dissatisfied with that? But if you're full, if you're abounding in Christ, you have a sense of satisfaction. Satisfied in Christ. And that is contentment. That is joy. When you're satisfied, you can be satisfied and have little. You can be satisfied and live in a small house. You can be satisfied and drive an old car in Christ. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a new car. I told you this morning, I'm fixated on new cars. I like new cars, but I can be satisfied with an old car. I like to have a new car. I want a new car, but if the Lord doesn't give me one, I don't want to lose my satisfaction, my joy, my happiness because of that. Abundant means present in great quality, quantity. Not just have something, but to have a great quantity of it. We ought to be abounding in joy. Not just have joy, but we ought to have a great quantity of joy. I mean, we ought to just be bubbling over in joy. Surplus, extra, excess. Do you have excess? You know what we can do with excess? We can share it with someone else. When we have more than we need, then we can give it to someone else. Whether that's joy, whether that's things, whether that's time. When we are blessed so much that we have an abundant life, we can make somebody else's life wonderful, joyful, and at peace. And that's what we ought to do. So what are the components of a full life? What if your life is empty? What if you feel empty? How do you change that? Do you judge your life and the value of your life on things? Or do you judge your value of your life on what you know to be true, and that is Christ Jesus? First of all, go back over here to Philippians chapter 4. And we'll begin reading in verse 6. Actually, let's just begin reading verse 4. I love these verses, and I hate not to read them. He says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. That's a command. We're always to be rejoicing. It's not a suggestion. It's not an option. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Is that possible? Is it possible to be happy under all circumstances? It is. Do you know someone? Can you think of someone right now that just seems to be always happy, even though they have gone through some great challenges and heartaches and hardships in their life, but yet they're full of joy and they're happy? How do they manage that in Christ? They're full and abounding in the love of Christ. And he goes on down, he says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Be careful for nothing means don't worry, be happy. That's what that means. Don't be anxious over anything. We've been pretty anxious, haven't we? Ever since the election, before the election, during the election, after the election, we've been anxious. We've worried about it. Who's going to be our president? You know, worrying's not going to change it a bit, is it? It's not going to make one bit of difference. It's going to be the same man whether we worry or not, except we're just going to be at peace and not have an ulcer. But don't worry, but in all things by prayer. Oh, I appreciate so much your all's prayer life here, getting together on Mondays and on Wednesdays and Fridays and today before church and praying by prayer and supplication. Let your requests be made known with what? Thanksgiving. Amen. Do you know when you ask God for something, you know what you should say after you ask Him? Thank you. Amen. But I don't know if He's going to give it to me or not. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. If you ask God, God is going to answer. His answer may be yes, no, maybe, or later. But whatever it is, it's going to be what's best for you. So you ought to be thankful. Amen. So when you pray to God, don't forget to be thankful. Thank you, Lord. Well, whatever it is that you've prayed for, thank you, Lord, for answering my prayer. And then whatever the outcome is, you can be sure it's going to be a good thing. God's going to bless you. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And then notice what it says next. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts. That word keep means to stand sentry, to guard, stand there to stop anything from robbing you of your joy, robbing you of your peace. It will stand there and guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. So that Satan can't get into your mind, because it starts with a thought. Bitterness, envies, anger, bad thoughts, evil deeds all start right here with what you think, what you let get into your mind. But if you pray and ask God to bless you and thank Him for it, He says this peace of God will keep your mind. It'll guard your mind. It'll guard your heart always. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, and whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. There again, that thought pattern. We have to get out of the gutter with our thinking. And I don't just mean impure thoughts. I just mean negative thoughts. Always upset, always worrying about what's going on. And spend time thinking on these things. Things that will uplift you and things that will bring honor and glory to God. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen me do. And the God of peace, not only the peace of God that we read just a few minutes ago, but the God of peace shall be with you. God is the God of all peace. He can bring peace to your heart when nothing else can. He can bring that peace that just settles over you. God can do that. But here's what I like. The things that you have learned, how had they learned them? They received them. Where did they receive them from? They received them from Paul. They heard Paul teach. They listened and received it. And then they saw Paul live it, because it says here, and received and heard and seen me do. If we want to be a blessing to other people, it's not what we say that blesses them, it's what we do. We can talk about how much we love Jesus all day long. But if we live a defeated life, if we're miserable, if we're sad, people aren't going to believe us. They have to see us living it. They have to see. I trust God. I believe God is going to put the next president over the United States of America. I really believe that. Well, if you believe that, why worry? If you know He's going to do it, and you know that God does all things well and everything God does is good, then don't worry. We ought to do whatever we can. We ought to practice human responsibility. But once we've done what we can, we need to let God do what He will. And it will be a blessing to us, and we will have peace. That's the only way you're going to have peace, is to turn it over to God. I don't like to say that let God, you hear that a lot, you know, let God. We don't have to let God do anything. God's sovereign. But in a sense, for our own peace, we have to turn it over to God and allow God to bless us with what He does. And then he goes on down and he says here, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly, and now in the last, your care for me has flourished again. Paul knew that he was going to be cared for by those that loved him. We ought to let other people know we're going to care for you. We're praying for you. We're there for you. If you have a problem, if you go through a struggle, especially during this day of the pandemic, a lot of people are suffering and struggling. Some are consciously aware of the problem and it scares them. They don't have it, but they're afraid. They're isolated and they're being tested and being away from people that they love. And we need to be mindful of them. We need to stay in touch with them. Give them a phone call. Just say, hey, I want you to know I'm praying for you today. That helps them. That blesses them, encourages them along the way. He goes on now, whereas you were also careful and you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak of respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I'm in, I am therewith to be content. The secret of abundant life is being content with what you have. If you can't be happy with little, God knows you won't be happy with a lot. You need to learn to be happy with a little, and then God will give you more. He'll give you greater blessings because you can handle the little. He says, I have learned it in whatever state I'm in to be happy. I had to endure that when I moved to Florida back in 2002, I think it was, when I first went to Florida. I don't like Florida. It's too hot in Florida for me. I didn't want to go. I said I would never go, and I ended up going. The church called me down there, and the Lord led me down there, and I was there for 11 years. I still don't like Florida. But I love the people down there, and I love the church down there. And I was happy down there, and my wife was happy down there. Even though we didn't like Florida, we learned to be content. God will give you that in situations that you don't necessarily want to be in, you don't like being in. But God will give you an abundant joy, an abundant peace, and an abundant life, and let you find happiness even in that. He says in verse 12, he says, I know both how to be abased and how to abound. There's that abundant life. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Paul says, I've been through both sides of it. He's not saying, you know, this isn't somebody who's rich and has everything he wants. He's never had a problem. Read the life of Paul. Paul had problems, didn't he? I mean, he was beaten, shipwrecked. He was stoned. He was hated of his brethren. He went through all kinds of suffering. He says, I've learned how to do those things, but yet still be content. What's the secret of that contentment? It's easy to have some form of contentment if you have everything, but what if you don't have anything? Can you still be joyful, have an abundant life? I believe you can, and we'll look at it in just a moment. He says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. These things that I mentioned, he says, I can do all kinds of things. You can have an abundant life. You can have an abundant joy. You can have an abundant peace in Christ. Nowhere else can you find that. You can find a temporal joy and temporal happiness, but it'll pass, it'll vanish away. Something will rob it of you. The bluebird of paradise, the bluebird of happiness, it'll fly away the minute you open your hand. But God will give you a lasting abundance and a fullness. So we can have an abundant supply. In Philippians 4:19, he says, but my God shall supply all your need according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. According to the riches of glory in Christ Jesus. How much does Jesus Christ have? Everything. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the hills. He owns the earth the hills are on. He owns the universe that the earth is spinning in. He owns everything, and he's going to supply what we need according to that. But you notice what he said here? I'm going to supply your need. Psalms chapter 23 in verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That is a great verse. Sometimes just study that one verse. And just stop and look at that one verse and dissect that one verse, the Lord. You can stop right there and study for a month, can't you? The Lord. Who is the Lord? God, Jehovah, the everlasting, sovereign, immutable, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent God, the Lord, is. What is He? My shepherd. Can you think about that for a minute? God, this God of the universe, this God that has everything, this God that has promised to supply all of our need, He's my shepherd. And if you understand the relationship of the shepherd and the sheep in that dispensation, the shepherds took care of the sheep. They nurtured the sheep and guarded the sheep and led the sheep to the green pastures and the still waters and through the dark valleys. That's what my Lord does for me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That word want in the Hebrew is need. We all have wants, don't we? We talked about it earlier. I bet we could have a fun just talking about what we want right now. You know, I'm sure there's something you want. And you're thinking of it. Boy, I would like to have this and I would like to have... We all have wants. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about needs. God says, I'll supply all your needs. And what amazes me is that many times God supplies even my wants. He's such a loving God. He's such a gracious God that He even gives me things that I want. So the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He supplies everything according to the riches. That abundant supply brings an abundant satisfaction. When you have abundance, you're satisfied. But not just satisfied, you're abundantly satisfied. How can I explain this? Thanksgiving dinner, or the dinner we had today. It was a great dinner we had today. And when you get done eating that, you're abundantly satisfied. It's like, man, I can't eat another bite. That was great, you know. And don't you feel that way when you get up from the Thanksgiving table? And at least normally, maybe this year is a little bit skewed, but normally we sit down at that table and here's a 40-pound turkey and, you know, dressing and potatoes and cranberry sauce. And after you have all of that, then they bring out the pecan pie and the vanilla ice cream. And, you know, and we eat till we're stuffed more than that turkey was. And don't we just feel abundantly satisfied? Amen. Man, I don't want anything else. I can't have anything else. We got all we could possibly handle. That's how God makes us feel. We've got everything that we need. We're abundantly satisfied when He supplies for us. Psalms chapter 36 and verse 8 says, "They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasure." Oh, isn't that a wonderful promise? Abundantly satisfied, drinking at the river of God's pleasure. We have an unending supply that never runs out, that guarantees that we're going to feel satisfied. And that's what we want. There's a peace that comes with it. What you, after that same dinner where you feel abundantly satisfied and you've ate all that food, what do you want to do next? How many of you think nap? Yeah, right? I mean, you're just satisfied. You just want to lay back and shut your eyes and all just relish in the abundance that you've just enjoyed. That's what it's like when you come to the table of the Lord. When you come to that table, He says that you come to this table and He supplies you and He says your cup runs over. You have so much that your cup runs over. That abundant satisfaction leads to that abundant life. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, "The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Not just eternal life in heaven, but the life here. God has come to give us an abundant life here. We can have an abundance in this life. It might not be the same kind of abundance that the world thinks of. It might be come from a different source. It might be something different than what we thought or anticipated or asked for even. But it'll be satisfying. And we'll have that abundant life. We enjoy something else too in abundance. Look over in the book of Romans chapter 5. Begin reading in verse 17. For if by one man offense death reigned, by one man much more, which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, shall reign in the life by one, Jesus Christ. The abundance of grace. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came into all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. We have the abundant grace of God, the unmerited favor of God. We have God's favor in abundance. I think that's a wonderful blessing to have. And that wonderful grace brings us an abundant pardon. We haven't only been forgiven for our past sins, we've been forgiven for our present sins. We haven't only been forgiven for our past sins and for our present sins, but God's already forgiven us for our future sins. Now, don't tell me that's not abundant grace. Does that give us a license to go out and sin? God forbid, he says over in chapter 5. That doesn't give us a license to sin. It makes us not want to sin because of our great love that it draws us to. We want to please him. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 7 says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." We have an abundant pardon from our sins. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Buried in the deepest sea. Cast behind the back of the Lord, never to be remembered again. God is not going to come up to us someday in heaven and say, "Remember when you..." No, he's not. They're gone. They're gone into the sea of his forgetfulness. That's wonderful, isn't it? What made that possible? The love of Jesus Christ demonstrated on the cross of Calvary. When he stretched out his arms and said, "I love you this much," on the cross, and died for our sins. And we have an abundant pardon because of that wonderful gift. As we've already read, we have an abundant peace in Philippians 4. Well, it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus." That peace that God gives us, people cannot understand it. How can you be at peace? You've mentioned you've have several that have suffered loss, and my heart goes out to you. I really do, the ones and the ones that you've mentioned. And I realize that they're struggling with something that is hard to struggle with because it's something new in your life and you don't know how to deal with it. And we don't know how to help them, do we? I mean, sometimes we just don't know what the right words are to say. We want to comfort them. And sometimes we need to be like the Holy Spirit. The comforter means to come alongside. And when we go through a trial, when we go through a heartache, a challenge, a temptation, persecution, the Holy Spirit comes alongside. He's the comforter. He comes alongside and just comes to us. Sometimes that's what we have to do. Just come alongside that loved one. Just be there. You don't need to say anything. You don't need to do anything. You just need to be there to bring them that comfort and that peace, just like we receive. And all that comes from abundant power. God has all power. That's why he's omnipotent. He's all powerful. There's nothing that God cannot do. You know, it's both challenging, it's both rewarding, and it's frightening. God is omniscient. He knows everything. Isn't that comforting to know that no matter what you're going through, God already knows? No matter what trial, challenge, disappointment, God knows about it already. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. That's comforting to know. God is here. We're in the presence of a thrice holy God, where two or three are gathered together. There am I in their midst also. That's comforting. But you know, it's also frightening. Wherever we go, God is there. Whatever we do, God is there. Whatever we think, God knows it. He knows everything. And God is all powerful. God can do anything. Anything at all, God can do. And we need to have confidence in that abundance, in that life, knowing that God is there for us. Colossians chapter 1, if you'll turn over there with me. Colossians chapter 1, let's just begin reading verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And that prayer is being offered up for you folks around this country and maybe around the world. People are praying for you as you seek a pastor. They understand your desire. They understand the importance of it. And they're offering up prayer for you and that you'll be able to understand and to receive and to accept the will of God, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So you're to be fruitful. You do that by doing every good work and in learning more about Jesus. And then he goes on down a little farther. He says, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through the blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And just a reminder, we're joint heirs of that. All those things, we're joint heirs. That's an abundant life, isn't it? You're not going to get that much down here in worldly things. You might get a lot, but you're not going to get all that in the world. But you have it in Christ. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, that is the local visible body, which He began during His earthly ministry, the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all the fullness dwell. All the fullness. That power that makes this possible is in Christ Jesus. That power that saves us from our sins and gives us that home in heaven. That abundant life that we have is made possible by the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 John 1:18 says, 1:8, excuse me, says, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward, that abundant reward. That life that you've lived, that life that you're living for Christ, live it to the end. Be abundantly at peace. Be abundantly happy. Be joyful. Not just in joy, but abundantly joyful. Practice it sometime. Just be happy. When you start getting down, just try to look at the Lord Jesus Christ and realize what He's promised you and find that joy, because that's a testimony of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to close with this poem that kind of sums all this up. I could have just read the poem and we could have went home, right? I mean, you know, but you guys wouldn't have got your money's worth, so we don't want to do that. We want to make sure you get your money's worth, right? It's Drinking from the Saucer. You ever heard that poem? In the olden days, they had these little small coffee cups. I don't know how in the world people ever use those things. I mean, the doctor asked me one time how much coffee I drank. I say one cup, and then I show him my cup. It's about that big, you know. I mean, they drink these little bitty China cups, you know, and they had a saucer, right? And they would pour coffee into the saucer, and because they are so small, have you ever seen in a restaurant, has a waitress ever done this? She'd come to your table, and she's got the cup, and it's on a saucer, and they pour the coffee in real fast, and it fills it right to the top and overflows it, and the coffee runs into the saucer, right? Well, that's the way my dad used to do that. He used to drink from the saucer. Why? Because his cup's overflowed. Psalm says, my cup runneth over. And the Lord blesses us with an abundance so that our cup runneth over. We have to drink from the saucer because God's given us so much. This poem was written by John Paul Moore. And it says, I've never made a fortune, and I've never made, he says, I've never made a fortune, and I'll never make one now, but it really doesn't matter because I'm happy anyhow. As I go along my journey, I'm reaping better than I've sown. I'm drinking from the saucer because my cup has overflowed. I don't have a lot of riches, and sometimes the going's tough, but the kin and the friends to love me, I think I'm rich enough. I thank God for the blessing that His mercy has bestowed. I'm drinking from the saucer because my cup has overflowed. He gives me strength and courage when the way grows steep and rough. I'll not ask for another blessing, for I'm already blessed enough. May we never be too busy to help bear another's load. Then we'll all be drinking from the saucer when our cups have overflown. Our cups should be overflown. We have so many blessings. The Lord has blessed us with a wonderful gift of salvation. The Lord has blessed us with the promise of an eternal home in heaven. The Lord has blessed us with more family and friends than we can even begin to imagine. Brothers and sisters in Christ, no matter where we travel, we find those that the Lord has saved, and we immediately have brothers and sisters we've never met before. The elders, we look to them as mothers and fathers. Oh, God has blessed us with so much. And when we have needs, there are so many that rally around and that come and support us through prayer and through coming alongside to comfort. We're never alone. I don't know how people who don't know the Lord bear through the loss of a loved one. They don't have that camaraderie of the brothers and sisters in Christ that just come there. And they don't necessarily have to do anything. They're just there for you. And you know they're there for you. We have an abundant life. We've been tremendously blessed. We have so much abundant peace, and we ought to have abundant joy, and we ought to demonstrate that joy in our life with one another. Let's bow our heads and pray, and we'll ask our song leader to come. Heavenly Father,